is indeed our only foundation, and a sure foundation, and a cause for assurance and hope. But here's what Luther said. Feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. And though all my heart should feel condemned, often it does, by lack of some sweet token, I know one greater than my heart, and His word cannot be broken. So I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. The words of men will pass away. God's word abides forever. And when Paul the Apostle brought to a close this first epistle to the Corinthian church, the church he loved, he wrote two long epistles to the church at Corinth. And when he brought to a close the first epistle to the Corinthian church, this is what he said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, and which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. And here are four of the most important words that I can speak. According to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. That's what Luther's talking about. The Scriptures, the Word of God. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now look at the next verse. And He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8. Verse 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20. Always submit what you believe to the Scriptures. Let me always submit what I preach to the Scriptures. Not to my feelings, my thoughts, but to the Word of God. That's what Paul's saying. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19, and when they shall say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, people who hear voices and get new revelations, and they tell you to seek unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Shouldn't we go to God? Are we going for the living to the dead? Going to get information about a living God from dead? Adam's dead son? Here's the place to go, to the law and to the testimony. The law, word law, I've told you so many times, quite often in the Scripture, talks about the word. The law is the word of God. The law and the prophets, that's the word of God. Don't go to wizards that peep. Don't go to those with familiar spirits. Don't go to the dead seeking information about the living. Go to the word, to the law, to the testimony, to the Scriptures. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light, there's no morning, there's no dawning. There's no light in them. And that's what I want to do tonight. You know, John prayed a moment ago. He said, Lord, enable us. I remember exactly what he said. Enable us to leave here tonight rejoicing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what I plan to do tonight, is preach so that every believer will leave here tonight rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our Redeemer. And what I plan to do is something a little different. In seeking to preach to you on assurance and confidence and rejoicing in Christ, I want to go to the book of Acts, chapter 13, and I want to find a sermon by the Apostle Paul. I want to take a message that he preached, the Apostle Paul. I want to go to the Word. That's what Luther said. Go to the Word. That's what Isaiah said. Go to the Word. That's what Paul said. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. I want to go to the book of Acts, chapter 13, and look at a message, a sermon that the Apostle Paul preached in the synagogue one Sabbath morning to his people. His sermon. And this is what I think. What could be better for my assurance of faith than to turn to one of the Lord's chosen apostles, the one he said that he chose to be an apostle to us Gentiles, to bring the message of Christ to us Gentiles. What could be better for my assurance of faith and my confidence than to turn to one of the sermons, word for word, that Paul preached to the early church, to the early believers, to the people to whom he preached. And as I'm looking at that message of Paul, ask this question. Is the gospel I preach the same gospel he preached? It's a good question, wouldn't it? Is the gospel I preach the same gospel he preached? My points, are they his points? My doctrine, is it his doctrine? My message, is it the message that this man, called by God to be an apostle, separated to the gospel, who was so obsessed with the gospel, he called it my gospel. And he said, there's no other gospel. If any man preach any other gospel than the gospel I preach, let him be accursed. Is my message his message? Do we preach, believe, and rest in the same hope of redemption in which he rested? Well, that can be determined by looking at this message and examining our own. And this is the title of the message. Is this our message also? Is this our message? And I tell you, if it is, if what God led Paul to preach, if that's what I'm preaching, that's what you're believing, then we have every reason to have the same hope he had, same confidence, same joy, same rest, same peace. All right, let's look at it. Verse 13 of Acts 13. Now when Paul and his company, those who were with him, Barnabas, and that time John was with him, and I suppose several others, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Like we gathered here tonight, Paul came in and sat down. Those Jews had met together on Saturday, on the Sabbath day, in the synagogue to read the word, to hear from their rabbis or their rulers, their teachers, scribes, Pharisees. And Paul came in and sat down with his people. He was known. Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul graduated from the best school of his day, the school of Gamaliel. They all knew him and knew his knowledge and his background, his heritage, his ancestry, that he was a Jew. And so after he sat down, verse 15, they read the word like we do. Just you think a little bit about the way we read. Get up here and read the word. And they read the word. They read
Verse 15, the reading of the law and the prophets.
They probably read Jeremiah, Isaiah, somebody from the scriptures.
The rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying,
I don't know what it means by sent unto them, but there sat Paul and Barnabas and whoever was with him, and he sent somebody to them, or else he addressed them from where he was standing.
Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people,
speak. Now this is just great. Paul's going to speak. I'm going to listen to him. And I want you to listen. While you're listening to Paul speak, I want you to be asking this question. Is our pastor preaching what he's preaching? When Paul was invited to stand up and address, these are the people of whom Paul said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren according to the flesh. That's who he was talking to. He stood up, this very surrounded by all these Israelites and Jews. And he had said this, wrote this in Romans 9. I have great sorrow, continual heaviness in my heart for my brethren according to the flesh. I could wish myself accursed from Christ for their salvation. Now, he's not going to compromise. He's going to tell them the truth. And he wrote also in chapter 10 of Romans, I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. Now, this man gives him an opportunity to stand and talk. Let's see what he says. He starts where they are. Now, listen to him. He starts where they are. Verse 16 says, then Paul rose, stood, and beckoned with his hand for quiet, for attention. Waved his hand. Men of Israel, ye that fear God, listen to me.
The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers.
No doubt about that. He chose Israel.
And exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm, a mighty arm, he brought he them out of it.
Now, you have any doubt about that? That's what I preach. This is my message. God chose Israel. And I read it in the scriptures. Let's turn to Exodus just a moment. Exodus 6. Exodus chapter 6. I want you to read this. Exodus 6, verse 6. Exodus 6, verse 6. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, with great judgment. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and I'll give it to you for heritage. I'm the Lord. I turn to Deuteronomy. This is what these men, Paul's starting with them where they are. The Lord chose Israel. He bypassed Philistines, all the other Amorites, Egyptians. He put a difference between Israel and the other nations. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, talking about Israel now, Deuteronomy 7, 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. You were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath. What did he say to Abraham? He swore by himself because he could swear by no greater. God confirmed it with an oath.
The Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh out of Egypt.
All right, verse 18, back in our text, Acts 13. The Lord chose Israel.
Verse 18. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. What's he saying here? He's saying that Israel was not a perfect people. God showed mercy to them in spite of their murmurings, in spite of their rebellions. In spite of all this, God loved them and brought them out with a mighty hand and drove out of Canaan 7 established nations. They owned that land. They had that land. God drove them out and gave it to Israel and divided that land up to them in lots to the different tribes of Israel. That's right. All right, verse 20. That's so. Verse 20, after that, he gave unto them judges. Gideon was a judge. All the different judges. He gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. In other words, Israel was judged and ruled by these special men, judges. God raised Samson was a judge. Gideon was a judge. God raised up these different men to judge Israel. And God was their king. But they wanted a king like the other nations.
Look at here. It says in verse 21, and afterwards they desired a king.
Let's read about that over in 1 Samuel 8. They weren't satisfied with God ruling over them and speaking to them through the prophets and judging them with the judges. But in 1 Samuel, and this Samuel now is the prophet in Israel. And those judges ruled 450 years until Samuel. Now, 1 Samuel 8, verse 6. They wanted a king. Verse 5. 1 Samuel 8, verse 5. All right. And said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now, make us a king. This is Israel talking to Samuel. Make us a king to judge us like the other nations. Oh, what a mistake when God's people want to be like the other nations. They want to do like the other nations or be like the other nations or act like the other nations. God made a difference between his people and the other nations. And verse 6, and the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say to thee. Sometimes the Lord leaves us to ourselves. I want my way, and God lets me have it. And I'm always sorry. And these people were too. God said, let them have their way. For Samuel, they've not rejected you. They've rejected me, that I should not reign over them. All right, let's go back to my text, Acts 13. This is what Paul's telling these Jewish people. They know all this. They know all this. These men he's talking to are familiar with the Scriptures like you are. They know all of this that he's saying is true. All right, verse 21. And afterwards they desired a king, Acts 13, 21. God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis. Saul was an impressive man. He was head, Scripture said, head and shoulders above other men. He was a big man, impressive man, an intelligent man. They chose him. They elected him king. He ruled 40 years. But notice this. He was a man of the tribe of Benjamin. Tribe of Benjamin. You know what Joseph said? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. That's like picking a priest out of another tribe besides Levi. They chose a man of the tribe of Benjamin. David came from Judah. Judah, that's the kingly tribe. But they picked a man of Benjamin, of the tribe of Benjamin. And he ruled over the space of 40 years, verse 22. And when God removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of David. son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. It's all true. And I imagine these Jews are sitting there saying, amen. That's so. That's good. That's so. Everything that Paul has said is so. That's laying the foundation according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. Now then, watch this. He begins to preach Christ, the Redeemer. All right, verse 23. Of this man David's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, a Redeemer, Jesus. They know that name too. He's been crucified, nailed to a cross. Jesus. Of this man David, tribe of Judah, root of Jesse, of his seed, God, according to his promise, raised up a Savior to Israel, Jesus.
Read on. And when John the Baptist had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I'm not he. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose.
Who is this Jesus? Paul's telling them all. He's the son of David. He's the son of David. He's the seed of David. When our Lord talked to these Jews, and they had asked him all these questions, one of them said, well, tell us about the resurrection. A woman married, and her husband died, she marries another, and he dies, she marries another, and she marries several men. Who's going to be her husband in the resurrection? Our Lord dealt with that question. And then one of them said, well, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? Is it all right? Is it lawful for God's people to pay tax to an earthly ruler? He dealt with that. They asked him another one. One of the lawyers said, well, which is the greatest law? And our Lord said, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, your neighbor as yourself. And they were put to silence. Ask him no more questions. And he said,
tell me, you tell me, what think ye of the Christ? Whose son is the Christ?
He's not saying, what do you think of me? He said, what do you think of the Christ promised in the Old Testament? What do you think of the Christ? And they said, he's the son of David. And he said, Christ said,
then how did David call him Lord? How can he be David's son and be David's God? And they couldn't answer that. And this is what Paul is bringing out right here. Of this man's seed, David, God has raised up Christ the Savior according to his promise. You see it there? Verse 23, is this our message? This is what I preach every Sunday.
Paul in Romans 1 said this, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm called to be an apostle. I'm separated to the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God. Paul's sermon, first point, is my first point always. Who is Jesus Christ? You see, he's the seed of woman, God according to promise. He said to the woman, to the serpent, the woman's seed will bruise the serpent's head. He's the seed of Abraham. God said when he took Abraham out to look at the stars, he said, you'll have a people as the stars of the sky from every nation. And Abraham says, I have no son. You'll have one. And of your seed. And that seed is Christ. And then the scripture tells us he'll be the seed of Jesse. Let me
turn to Isaiah 11. I want you to look at this. This gives me so much comfort, and
I hope it does to you, that our gospel is the gospel Paul's preaching here.
2,000 years ago nearly in that synagogue with all those Jews sitting around, the rulers and priests and scribes and Pharisees, and he's given the simple message that I preach every Sunday.
Isaiah 11:1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse.
Who is Jesse? David's daddy.
And a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign. I'm the Lord, your banner, an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious.
That's Christ. That's Christ our Lord. All right, let's go back. I've got to get back to my text.
Acts 13. Paul said there in verse 23, of this man's seed
hath God, according to his promise, his will, raised up. God sent his Son, a Savior, a just God and a Savior. Those angels said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ.
And then in verse 24, he said, John the Baptist preached, before his coming, before Christ came, John came preaching.
One time our Lord was talking to these Pharisees in John the 5th chapter. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. You're familiar with it. He's talking to them in the 5th chapter. And he told them of his mission, redeem his people. But he said, if I bear witness myself, my witness is not true. If I'm the only witness concerning what I'm saying and claiming, it's not so. But he said, I have other witnesses. First of all, he said, John the Baptist bore witness of me. Remember? And you received his witness, he said. You said he was from God. Secondly, the works that I do bear witness. The dead are raised, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Thirdly, the Father hath borne witness to me. The Father said, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then he said, the Scriptures. You search the Scriptures. In them you think you have life. They are they which testify of me. He's the Christ. God. All right, I've got to get to the second point in Paul's message here now. Let's look down. First point is this. Of this man's seed, that God, according to his promise, raised up an Israel Savior, Jesus, God-man. All right, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, Jews, Israelites, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. You have any doubt about that? That God sent it to the Jew first. If you do, let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Jesus Christ the Lord was born of the tribe of Judah in the city of David, Bethlehem. His mother, Mary, was a direct descendant of David. Jesse, direct descendant. His foster father, Joseph, that's the reason they were in Bethlehem at that time, being taxed, because they were Jews. And their son, born out of her womb, was a Jew. Joseph, right back to David, his house and lineage. When Christ was 8 days old, he was circumcised by a Jew at the temple. When he's 12 years old, took you to the temple to, according to the custom, according to the law. Everything was according to the law. Every Sabbath day, Jesus of Nazareth was in the synagogue, as his custom was. He was a Jew. He came unto his own. His own received him not, but he came to him. Now listen to Romans 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said, of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. To the Jew first. All right, Acts chapter 3. Let's turn back there and look at this. Acts chapter 3. Jesus of Nazareth was a Jew. In Acts chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, listen to this. You children of Israel, you children of the prophets, children of the covenant. I want you to see this, Acts 3:25, which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. You see, we Gentiles are included, but the covenant was made with Abraham. Made with Abraham. And our Lord came. Let me show you in the chapter we're in now, Acts 13. Look at verse 46. This is Paul speaking here now. He went to the Jew first, just like every town he went in. The first place he went was the synagogue. In Acts 13:46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Remember, Paul, we talked about that Sunday, Romans chapter 11. Had God cast away his people? No, Paul said, I'm a Jew. And the other Jew, but they're blinded. They're under God's judgment right now, but the gospel came to them first. First. And then it came to the Gentiles. And maybe in God's good providence, someday it'll go back to the Jew. I do not know. But that's my message, too. That's my message. Our Lord, you see, he was born under the law. He was made of a woman, made under the law, under the moral law, under the ceremonial law. All of those laws in the Old Testament, Christ kept. He kept those laws. All right. Let's read. Let's hear Paul talk some more now. In verse 27, to you is this word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, they didn't know Christ. They didn't receive him. Now, here's the sad thing. And they didn't know the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day. He's standing here talking. These fellows just got through reading these prophets. Just got through reading the word. They said, Paul, you had something to say. And this is what he's saying. Christ came. This word of salvation and the gospel of redemption by the God-man, the Savior, was sent to you. But you people, who dwell at Jerusalem and your rulers, the Jews, the Pharisees, the chief rulers, the chief priests, they did not know him. They did not know the message of their prophets that are read every day. Every day. Christ is the message of the Scriptures. It's read every day. Listen. And they have fulfilled these very Scriptures, condemning him, putting him to death. And though they found no cause of death, he was perfect. Pilate said three times, I find no fault in him. They said, crucify him. They found no fault. Perfect man. You know, if it had been any of us on trial, they'd have found something. Any human being, that's the reason people are afraid to run for president now. They know they can dig up something. The best men can't run. Best leaders. Because they can't stand the searchlight. And you couldn't either, and I couldn't either. But our Lord, they found no fault. He's perfect. He's sinless. And yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. Sinless. No fault. The only sinless man. Yet they desired to have him killed. Look at the next verse. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him. The Passover lamb. The brazen serpent lifted up. This. Sell me for 30 pieces of silver. That's in the Old Testament. They'll pierce my hands and my feet. They'll crucify him. Look at here. They took him down from the tree. That's what was written in the Old Testament. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. They did everything that was prophesied of Christ. They did their will. They did what they wanted to do, but they did what God determined to be done. And this is what he's saying here. Verse 27, they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they didn't know him. They didn't know their God, their Lord, their Christ. They didn't even know the voices of the prophets read to them every Sabbath day. And they fulfilled these things in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death, no fault, yet they desired Pilate that he should be killed. And when they fulfilled all that was written, according he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Isn't that what we read? According to the Scriptures. You see, Christ, every step, he said, the words that I speak, the words of my Father that sent me, the works that I do, they're his works. Everything in the life of our Lord was ordained of God. Let's read that one more time. Acts chapter 4. Let's read that. These wicked men did what they did willingly and what they wanted to do, but they did it fulfilling what was written of him. In Acts 4, verse 26. The kings of this earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to before to be done. Is this not our message, right? Everything Paul is saying here, this is exactly what I said. God has sent a Savior. To the Jew, the message came. They rejected it. God called the Gentiles. Everything written in the Old Testament, seed of woman, seed of Jesse, seed of David, seed of Abraham, Passover lamb, all of these things they fulfilled. Nailed him to a tree. And then they took him down. Isaiah said he was crucified between two thieves and put in a rich man's tomb. That's what they buried him. All right, point number four. God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. This was the central point of the apostolic message. Everybody knew that Jesus of Nazareth lived, and everybody in that day knew he died. The issue was, did God raise him? That's they forbid the apostles to preach the resurrection. That was the issue, the resurrection of Christ from the grave. Because many religious reformers had lived and died and were in the grave. But this man, God raised him. And I'll tell you, God raised him and gave evidence that he raised him. Listen to these next verses as Paul keeps on talking. Verse 30, God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same to the children, in that he raised up Jesus again. As it's written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. You know, thou not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. I'll give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou will not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. But he wasn't talking about David. For David, after he'd served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. He's talking about the Christ. And you've got to turn with me two pages over to Acts 17. And this is why God, well, there are many reasons why God raised him.
He's our justifier. He's our great high priest. He's the exalted redeemer. He's the first begotten from the dead. Because I live, you live. But here's the powerful message of the resurrection.
In Acts 17:31. Because God has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead.
That's what Paul is. Is this our message? It is indeed. And I tell you, it just gives me so much comfort. I'm reading a message that Paul preached back yonder so many years ago. And it's a selected message because he's preaching to people he burdened for, broken for, wants them to know God, his nation, his people. And this is what he says. Now, what's the fifth point? Verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, through this God-man, through him, Christ Jesus, by him, through him, because of him, through him is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Be it known unto all of you and to the whole world, one gospel, through this man is preached to you the pardon and forgiveness of all sins, past, present, and future. Through his righteousness, through his blood. Is that our message? That's it. And by him, all that believe what? Believe God's record, God's word concerning Christ. God gives us that faith. I know that. But we believe it. Willingly, lovingly. I believe, Paul, I believe you. He's standing there preaching, and I believe you. I'm going to go and tell everybody what you told them that day there in the synagogue. And by him, all that believe are justified. Not just pardoned and forgiven. They're justified, just as if they'd never sinned. They're justified from all things. Now, you know surely he died for every sin but unbelief. Then you're a goner, because that's your chief sin. People tell me that. Christ paid the debt of the whole world, died for every man's sin except one sin, unbelief. Well, if that's so, we're gone, because that's our greatest sin. That's our greatest sin. And that's the greatest sin of believers, is unbelief. Our faith is imperfect, but our Savior is perfect. Our Savior is perfect. And you be justified from all things from which you could never be justified by the law of Moses. The law won't save anybody. No law was given to save. It was given to shut these mouths and render us guilty and helpless and hopeless before God, to call on Christ. Now here's his last point before he sits down. Now beware, he said. Don't you get comfort from this? This is what we preach, Jim. This is what we believe. This is what John, what you preached last Sunday in Crossville, what you preached last Sunday in Madisonville. The points are the same. Who is he? What did he do? Why did he do it? Where is he now? But Paul winds it up. He said, now beware, lest that come upon you which was spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despise us and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it to you. And when the Jews went out of the synagogue, some of the Gentiles that were there on the outskirts, they came and said, Paul, how about next Sabbath day preaching for us? We like what we just heard. The Jews went out murmuring. They said, would you come preach for us? I want to hear this again. Well, you be here Sunday, and Ronnie's going to preach it Sunday morning. I'm going to preach it Sunday night. Doesn't that give you comfort? to the Scriptures. And we just sat at the feet of Paul. And I can say, his message is my message. His gospel is my gospel. His Savior is my Savior. His hope is my hope.